All right, as we said, who's talking? Show two of season six here, following the Virginia football game on Saturday against UCLA. Looking ahead to the Richmond Spiders, 3:30 on Saturday at Scott Stadium. David A. Harrison Field, the Carl Smith Center. How do you get all that in? You know, I mean,
it's easy, and not too far from the rotunda.
That's it. But at any rate, we are going to be joined here momentarily, talking a little defense with John Copper, former linebacker, and Frank's going to introduce John, who's been a frequent visitor.
We are fortunate tonight to have former UVA middle linebacker John Copper, an outstanding football player at Virginia, reliable, consistent, always filling the hole, you know, wrapping up the running backs, a good player, you know, particularly against the run, and a hustler on defense when quarterbacks would scramble. John played from 2005 to 2008 and set some really nice statistical records, wrapping up some good tackle numbers at Virginia. And Charles McDaniel, who's going to be on the show in coming next week, had some records, I think, that exceeded John Copper's, but it wasn't like John Copper was too far behind. They were in the same neighborhood. And John, thank you for joining us today on Who's Talking.
Hey, Frank, appreciate it, and good to hear from you guys.
Well, I know you were very much pleased with the play of number 44 for Virginia, the Cavalier middle linebacker, Henry Coley, who he only had 14 tackles and two sacks. I think he was selling popcorn at halftime, and
I did see him up there. I had a soft drink and a box of popcorn.
And he was distributing Gatorade to his teammates, and he was ranting and raving on the sidelines, wasn't he?
He was had a career day. Was really fun to watch. I don't know. Every time I watch Henry Coley, he just looks and plays somewhat like Ty Parham. That's where my mind goes. But yeah, he had an excellent day along with the other linebackers.
You know, one thing about Henry Coley is he is passionate. And whereas I always viewed you and known you more for being a cerebral sort of middle linebacker, Henry Coley looks like he's more instinctual and gets fired out of the cannon. I mean, one time he ran right past the quarterback. He got back there so quickly, he ran right past him, did a dance behind him, then chased him from behind and still got the sack. And I was thinking, slow down a little bit and keep your knees bent, and maybe you get him on the clean tackle coming in. But also his running mate, Draquan Romero at the outside linebacker position, had another good day, and in fact made a tremendous open field tackle on a running back who caught a little dump pass. I don't know if you remember it, but he planted him. He picked him up off the ground and slam that running back right into the turf. I know you had to smile at that one.
Textbook.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, just the whole day, just seeing the guys fly around. And, you know, I was listening to the previous segment with Billy. There was just a lot of energy, and it something I didn't see last year, which was really just the fight week in and week out. And not just, you know, I think Billy said the guys weren't just competing. They were really believed they could win, and that's what it looked like to me, and that's something that we haven't seen. Definitely didn't see it much last year.
You know what's interesting is UCLA was held to 16 first downs. They only had 116 yards rushing and only 242 yards passing. Meanwhile, Virginia's rebuilt offensive line and two quarterback rotation had better passing statistics and better rushing yardage as well, by 4 yards. What do you see in the front five, seven, whatever the rotation? At one time, Virginia was playing a 3-3-5. And, I mean, what kind of defense is that? Tell us a little bit what's involved there.
Yeah, I mean, it just gives you a lot more flexibility. I remember, probably the first team to make something like that popular was West Virginia back several years ago, where they began running a 3-3-5 consistently. But it just, you know, whenever you're adding, taking out a down defensive lineman with his hand down and replacing that with either a linebacker or with an extra kind of hybrid DB, it gives you a lot more flexibility, a lot more speed on the field, ability to attack. And we saw that on Saturday. We saw guys flying around. I mean, it was like the, you know, their quarterback Heisman candidate, but, you know, to held him to no passing TDs, and I think he was definitely under 300 yards total, sacked him five times. I mean, you saw that kind of speed and different things and what that flexibility offered on Saturday.
You expect that kind of defense week in, week out, John?
Hey, I hope so. You know, they've definitely set the bar pretty high. You know, just, you know, some of the things that it's going to take defensively to win games, especially win close games, you definitely got to have pressure on the quarterback, which we did all day long. I mean, that was just something tremendous there. But, you know, in addition to that, you got to be able to create turnovers and as a defense win the turnover battle. And that would be the one area that, you know, we didn't win the turnover battle, unfortunately, and that definitely cost us.
Yeah,
so that's just another area that they're going to have to be able to produce in, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback, you know, flying around, the type of energy they were producing. And then in addition to that, winning the turnover battle. I mean, those are going to be the three keys for really, you know, seeing if we can keep up that type of pace defensively the rest of the year.
You know, there was one play where it was a fourth down play and there was a fumble, and I can't remember which Virginia defender just fell on the ball. And I thought at that point in time it would have been better to try to pick it up and run with it, because if you don't come up with it, it's fourth down, the ball, the possession of the football is going to turn over anyway because it was in the backfield. But technically, UCLA had two turnovers, but I think they were both on a fourth down situation where it really didn't make much difference.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing. You've got to have, you know, UCLA, all three of their turnovers were game-changing turnovers. And obviously, whenever you pick a ball up or intercept the ball and score, that's significant. But that's really what it's got to be. I mean, a game-changing type turnover. I mean, to be an excellent defense and, you know, to get into the 7-8 wins that we're, you know, all hoping for this year, they're going to have to be able to consistently produce, you know, two or three good turnovers every week, week in and week out, which, you know, a lot of that's pressure on the quarterback. And you know, I think we'll be able to see that, you know, moving forward, some sacks in the pocket and different things. So, you know, it's just mindset that when the ball's on the ground, you know, you're going to make a play with it. And that's something that I know Coach London and Coach Sanuta are drilling and coaching. And you know, so we should see some exciting things for the weeks.
You know, there was a play where UCLA either pitched the ball or did a quick lateral over to the tailback on the left side of their offense, and the ball bounced on the turf and then came right back to the back. And all we could think about was, wow, we could have used that one, because that was a play back in their end of the field. I think that was inside their 40-yard line. And I kept thinking, boy, that was a lucky play, because the receiver slash back kept running, and if the ball didn't bounce to him, he'd have left it behind, and Virginia was swarming all over the place. Looking at the secondary, what did you think of the DBs? And they're still playing without Demetrius, a.k.a. Trey Nicholson, who's still getting healthier every week but still not quite ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, you look at UCLA's offense and coming in, of course, highly touted top 10 team, Heisman candidate at quarterback. I mean, I thought overall we did an excellent job. That you hold without having an interception or a big fumble or anything like that, holding a team like that to under 400 yards total, that's just a tremendous total defensive effort. So, I mean, honestly, I mean, if I were a D coordinator, I mean, of course, you're going to pick apart the film and different things and the secondary coach, but, you know, I'll take holding the Heisman candidate to zero touchdowns every week.
John, I had a quick question on the one UCLA touchdown. I think it was like third and gold from the 8-yard line, and Hundley dropped back to pass, looked in the end zone, and then took off up the middle and got to the end zone. In that situation, is there a defender that's supposed to kind of shadow the quarterback in that circumstance, or is it just one of those things where he made a great play?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure the defense that we had called. It was we had six guys, five or six guys rushing, and basically the pocket got a little collapsed, and I saw, and, you know, if I was a player, I'd never say anything like this, but now that I'm just a, you know, an old guy watching it, the one of our linemen, I don't know who, but one of our linemen was clearly being held right in front of the umpire. He had both arms up in the air, was falling sideways, just kind of the classic You know, and that's right where the gap was, where we end up, having that there. So, you know, it's just a, I don't know which defense was called usually in that circumstance, third and eight. I mean, you're thinking a play like that'll happen. So anyway, it's just, you know, that wasn't the win or loss on the game, but it was definitely one of those plays that contributed.
Well, what was interesting was, I think in the future, Quinn Blanding, instead of waiting for the quarterback to start boogieing towards the goal line, he'll fill the hole and knock his teeth out. That was his first start as a collegian, and I thought he did pretty well overall. John, we're going to have to let you go. We've got Dr. Gordy Rawls coming on next to give us a little discussion about injuries and sort of reviewing where Virginia stands in that category. But we thank you, as always, for joining us today, particularly on Labor Day, and we hope you've had a great weekend, and maybe in a couple weeks we can bring you back and analyze where Virginia is going to be then.
Sounds good. We'd love to. Frank and Jim, you guys have a great rest of your evening and rest of the show.
Thank you so much. Take care, John.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, John Copper, I thought he did a great job of analyzing that. And
No, I think you did a nice job lining up guests. We had an offensive guy, a defensive guy, you know, both experts on a different side of the ball, so we can talk about these things. But
all right, so now
we've got Dr. Rawls. Go ahead.
So we have Dr. Gordy Rawls with Ortho Virginia on the line. And, Gordy, first off, Jim and I want to say thank you and all your colleagues at Ortho Virginia for supporting us again. This is season 6, and we've truly appreciated your support. You're one of the core founding sponsors, and really to allow us to continue to cover the University of Virginia athletic program,
and
we want to thank you.
And most importantly, can Hobbo get a deal on a hip replacement? That's the main thing, you know. Speaking of injuries.
I've heard you're looking for one. Great to be with you guys again.
Well, we got to get Hobbo over there. I think Vince Dalton's chomping at the bit to start drilling some holes in that hip and try to put some titanium and some cement in there and maybe some gauze and 301 oil, and we can get him walking straight again.
Yeah, get that Uniontown rifle going again.
That's right.
All right, so let's look at the injuries. All right, what do we know? Right now we know that Eli Harold is in a walking boot. I did not see the play specifically where he twisted or got stepped on, or he moves so fast, I wouldn't be surprised if he literally just stepped right out of his own foot. But we know that he's got a foot injury there. We know Grayson Lambert has got an arm injury. We're not exactly sure what that is. We know that going into the game that he must have tweaked his elbow or his arm or his shoulder. And typically, Gordy, what do you and some of the other specialists at Ortho Virginia see with a quarterback when they have something like that? And what's interesting is that the Virginia doctors cleared him to play. And Coach Linden said that in his post-game press conference. He would not say yay or nay whether there was an injury. But, you know, clearly the second interception that he threw, he had nothing on the ball. And it was a short pass. So we think that there's an arm injury there or a shoulder injury. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, the doctors certainly would not have, Dave Dita wouldn't have cleared him if he weren't, up to snuff as far as not having, a major injury. But there are a lot of, fine tweaks of the shoulder or of, muscles in the forearm that might not manifest themselves, until you're in the heat of competition. And so I would doubt that, he's got something major going on there. But I would also agree with you. It looked like he didn't have a lot of zip on that second interception throw. They're very, the Wahoos are very fortunate that they have, several talented quarterbacks. And just like on many teams, somebody's got to rise to the occasion.
Well, Matt Jones certainly was, he was ready to go, wasn't he?
He appeared to be healthy. But Gordy, we're visiting with Dr. Gordy Rawls. Gordy, I know it's not necessarily your field of expertise, but a lot of cramping on Saturday because of the heat and humidity. We may see the same kind of weather on Saturday. So what are some of the things that players should do to maybe avoid that happening?
Well, from my understanding, you know, cramps really are the result of a combination of dehydration and salt depletion. And my understanding is that, you know, hydration doesn't begin on the sidelines or, you know, an hour before the game, but it begins, you know, 3 or 4 days, and it's a maintenance of hydration that's so important. You know, the training staff is all over this. But then, you know, they do need to, you know, particularly on these hot days, just, you know, replace all the fluids that, you know, are being lost. And generally they're doing this not with with a combination of water and sports drinks that are, you know, replacing sodium as well as, you know, the fluids that you lose.
Yeah, Frank usually starts hydrating on about Wednesday for a Saturday game.
I get ready. I've got to get ready, man.
I think that might be the wrong fluid.
Now, hey. I think you guys are insinuating something there that I don't think kindly to. But, well, Gordy, thank you for joining us tonight on and taking some time out on Labor Day. We hope you've had a good weekend. And, you know, I think Jim and I are very inspired by the Wahoos, and we see good times ahead and maybe some big wins and maybe 7 or 8 wins. So
let's get number one on Saturday.
That's let's get number one this Saturday against U of R, right?
I think Richmond will be a good challenge.
Well, I think the Wahoos are going to take Richmond down hard. All right, we've got to go to break. When we come back, we've got the Olympic sports report. And William Boyd is going to chime in for his first commentary on that. So stay with us. This is Who's Talking.